Maureen Dillon Teasdale for the Cube 88.9 FM, and it's time again for another segment of At the Movies with Mel, with Melanie Cutting doing movie reviews, and today she has a special guest in, Judy Keenan. So we welcome you both, ladies.
Hello. Nice to be here.
It's nice to have you on this rainy day.
On a rainy day.
Yeah. So let's talk movies.
Okay. I will talk first, and then I'll hand the mic over to Judy. And I guess the first thing I'll talk about is the movie that I did see locally, and it was called Three Identical Strangers. It was a very interesting film, a documentary very recently made about three young men who were, well, as the title says, both strangers, but identical. They all looked the same. They had and they had shared many of the same mannerisms. They were clearly related or cloned or something. So two of them find each other because they show up at, one of them shows up at the school where it turns out the other one had been a student, the second of the three. And people keep greeting him as if they know him, but calling him by someone else's name. So it's all kind of amusing at the beginning. And then ultimately the story comes out that, oh, here's this young man who found his twin, happenstance, and another, as a result of that getting out and onto social media and other media outlets, another brother, as it turns out, shows up. And he's someone had said, oh, these two boys look just like your kid. So he shows up. They're all about 19 at this moment, and they revel in this whole notion that here I have a brother and I have another brother. It gets a little, well, it gets considerably darker after that. They do establish a business together. It turns out that they have many things in common, but there are also a number of things that are distinct about them, and some of those lead to a bit of a rough road for them. And a lot of the movie is concerned, the second part of the movie is concerned about how did this happen? You know, once the phenomenon of having three identical strangers meet up and they appeared on, sounded, looked like every talk show in the United States, and they were dressing alike, you know, it's kind of cute. Mm-hmm. But then it said, well, how did this occur? So several people get involved in the search for, okay, this is all interesting, but they all were placed through the same adoption center in New York City. They all had sisters who'd been adopted before them, who were not identical, they were just girls. They grew up, of course, not realizing that the other was there, but they were, at least two of them, were really close together. And the question started to be asked, why didn't someone say, you know, early on, you have a sibling who happens to live close by? That didn't happen. And it turned out there was a reason for this, but it wasn't a very pleasant reason. And okay. I won't talk too much about that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the movie is not there anymore. If it were there, I would absolutely say, this is worth seeing. It's so interesting and a tiny bit scary in terms of what they discovered ultimately about their families and about their the placement, the whole adoption service process. Mm-hmm. Not there. It will likely turn up somewhere else, Netflix or elsewhere, but I'm sorry that it's not there anymore.
Yeah, because it does sound very interesting, and it's a true story too, is it?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
totally
interesting.
True. Yeah.
Amazing.
It goes, I think the brothers would now be in their late 50s, early 60s. So it goes back a little, it goes back a ways because they did this sort of, they discovered each other when they were about 19 years old. Mm-hmm. So they had a number of years to cover this story. As I said, a few people got very interested, not only in the fact that, oh yeah, here's this three guys who look identical, but how did this happen? And how come they didn't know? Nobody knew, including their families, that there were other siblings who, as it turned out, were close by. Okay, so recommended, but not there anymore. I'll turn the mic over to Judy to talk about the movie that she did see and I didn't, although I expect I will. I hope, anyway. called Black Klansmen.
With three K's in the center, KKK. Okay, so yes, I went to see just this week at the Maison du Cinéma Spike Lee's latest film called Black Klansmen. And Melanie asked me yesterday if I would say something because I had said to her I would. I saw it and yeah, it's. I was left sort of, which I like. I was left feeling undecided in that. Well, I'll start by saying it's a powerful film, and one that I think probably is well worth seeing, and it's really a film of our time. It's a film today. It's bookended by scenes that begin, well, it's bookended, it begins with shots from Gone with the Wind.
Okay.
And it's interspersed with footage from The Birth of a Nation, which is a classic American film, big film, D.W. Griffith, and ends with footage of Trump. So it's pretty clear where he's going. And I was looking at reviews afterwards. Most of the reviews, Rolling Stone and other reviews, are really, really positive. It's just one, let's see, the Grand Prix at the Cannes Film Festival. And I don't know whether I can. Spike Lee is 61 now, and some of you will know his other films, Do the Right Thing and Malcolm X. This film is, I saw Do the Right Thing, I didn't see Malcolm X. It's heart-hitting in many ways, but it's also a film for, you know, an American audience, I would say. And I don't know whether I can say a bad word on the radio. I'll read you something that Spike Lee, no? Okay, I'll put a bleep in there. Spike Lee, I read an interview in Rolling Stone, and he said he was at the Cannes Festival to accept his award, and apparently there he publicly called President Trump a bleep for his refusal to condemn white supremacists who had incited violence in Charlottesville, Virginia last year. So it's a very explicitly political film, and I think most of us going will strongly relate to it. I think the problem with one reviewer that I read was that she felt that it was almost a little bit too easy, and that as white viewers, he was preaching to a converted audience and didn't unsettle us enough, or didn't take some of his ideas about the role of the media in how we perceive blacks in America as far as he might have. But all that being said, it's a powerful film, pretty hard-hitting in a lot of ways. It's funny. And you catch yourself laughing, and then he'll throw something else at you, and the laughter dies pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the film, when I left, it was interesting. There was just absolute stunned silence in the audience, and there were quite a few people there. And people were obviously really moved by the film. So just briefly, the story is based on a true story. A man called Ron Stallworth, who infiltrated the Ku Klux Klan, and he was, now that's a good, I'm suddenly thinking, Ron Stallworth, he was black, yes, he was black, as he is in the film, so obviously there's something funny there. He's a black man, he infiltrating the white Ku Klux Klan. He apparently did it in the novel only over the phone, but in the movie it's made really interesting, because the character Ron Stallworth, who is played by John David Washington, who is Denzel Washington's son, he becomes a member of the Chicago police force, and as such he eventually manages to get a job going undercover, and that's when he is going to be assigned to go to a meeting in which Stokely Carmichael is going to be there. He was the former leader of the Black Panthers, as you'll know, and he's speaking at a Colorado College Black Students Union meeting. So Stallworth is assigned to go in wearing a wire and cover this meeting. But of course he can't go, or he does go as a black man, obviously, and that works. He meets there the leader of the union, who is herself black and an avid supporter of black power. So there's a conflict right there, and that becomes interesting. Later on, he has a phone conversation and manages to talk to the leader of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke. David Duke, yeah, the Imperial Wizard. and sets up a meeting with him, and that's where it becomes, it's funny and it's also fraught, because he's black, he can't go to this meeting, so he has a double on the police force, Flip Zimmerman, who goes in as a white man playing Ron Stallworth. So the whole thing becomes quite complex. And while there's humor, it very quickly escalates into meetings where there's obviously real tension. Other Klan members are there. One reviewer said they're treated as buffoons. I wouldn't agree. They're not all buffoons. They're some of them are uneducated, obviously not too bright. Others are a lot scarier and very real. And so the tension in the film really escalates during these scenes. And at the end, there's a final meeting where Stallworth is to be inducted as a member of the Klan. And his double, Flip Wilson, is there, and the whole thing comes together and almost implodes. Very, very fraught. So, and then we move from there, as I say, into the more explicit documentary footage, which shows you Trump and his response to the Chicago rally. Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Melanie. Political kind of debacle. And I think it ends with that, and some music by Prince, Mary, Don't You Weep For Me. There's a very good musical score during it, too. So I didn't feel like a smug white person watching the film that thought, oh, I'm aware of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I was really moved by the film. I wouldn't say it's his greatest film, maybe, but it's a really powerful film and a film that I think would speak to everybody. And it is there now at the Maison. There's in English, there are two showings. One is a matinee, I've kind of forgotten the time, and the other is at 6:40. And then I noticed that next week it switches to a later time in English. Okay. But I think well worth seeing.
I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
Yeah. Very current, very topical. Mm-hmm. And actually, very as well. There's a scene with Harry Belafonte playing a character there, and interspersed again with footage of a real event in which there was a really brutal murder years ago in the States of a young black man for an absolutely unacceptable. There was no reason for it. So there's a lot of footage which is pretty shocking and pretty sobering, and things I did not know about going into the film. So it really retains your interest, I think.
Good. Sounds excellent.
I think that some people are considering this one of Spike Lee's, and who has a huge roster of movies that he's done, as one of his really good ones.
Yep, they do.
Yeah.
They definitely do.
He's never stopped making movies, but they don't all get this kind of attention.
Yeah, and there was a funny comment, Mel. I'll just add that I had written down here. He says about his earlier film, this is what he said at the Cannes Festival, his earlier film, Do the Right Thing, wasn't even nominated, he said, in quotes, for the Academy Award for Best Picture. Best Picture that year was Driving Miss Daisy. And he said, who's watching that film today? I thought, that's pretty interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah.
I actually have watched Driving Miss Daisy a few times.
Yeah, well, there are people still watching.
There's still a few of us out there.
But I think we look at the situation quite differently today.
Yeah. Actually, when I first saw this, before I read anything about it, I thought, oh, this looks like a comedy.
Yeah.
This looks like a slapstick comedy about...
I did too.
...about a black person who gets into the KKK. Mm-hmm. But it's obviously far more than that. Mm-hmm. Although there are comedic moments, there's a lot of serious...
Yeah,
stuff.
The trailers sort of show a lot of the comedic moments, but then you're just smacked immediately with this documentary footage and facts and wonderful shots of things that we hadn't anticipated.
Well, I will see it, but I won't talk about it anymore. When I've seen it, I'll just see it for my own enjoyment. So to get into sort of the housekeeping end of things here, at the Maison de Cinema presently, there are a number of English films. One of them is new this week, and it's gotten just terrible reviews. It's called Mile 22.
Okay.
With Mark Wahlberg, and directed by an action movie director named Peter Berg. Mm-hmm. And I have not much liked Peter Berg's stuff, but he's worked with Wahlberg a lot, and they've made this other movie, and it's just... viewers don't want to go, critics don't like it. It's like, okay, well, we'll see. It's about a CIA agent, and apparently there's just so much violence. It's just nothing but violence is what comes across to most reviewers. So not on my list, but it may be on yours. And it is playing playing locally. Another one that's still there and I did recommend and I will continue to recommend is Mission Impossible Fallout.
Okay.
Still there in English, and it doesn't say that it's the last week, so it could be that it's going to be around for a bit. But as ever, see it soon, because even if it doesn't leave, sometimes it then only plays once a day at a time when you don't want to go to the movies, or it may end up only being in French, which frequently happens. But it's there now in both languages. Another movie which again I think will also be there for another bit is The Meg, about the giant shark.
Oh yeah,
which my husband really wants to see, so we will probably get to see this one. It's about a prehistoric, I think it's kind of a prehistoric shark called a megalodon, and Jason Statham. Anything with Jason Statham has lots of action, so it's. It's been doing okay. It hasn't gotten, you know, super reviews, but that's okay because it fulfills the audience need to see a big shark movie every once in a while. There you go. Okay. And what's coming on the website? And the website, by the way, is working much better now.
Excellent.
When you go into the website, everything appears. So that's a big step forward for them. Starting on Friday of this week, there are three English movies.
Oh, interesting.
One is called Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot, about a young man who is a paraplegic. He's an alcoholic and has been in a very bad car accident. And Joaquin Phoenix plays the young man. It's also based on a true story. It's not a documentary by any stretch, but it's based on a true story of this young man who is, of course, confined to a wheelchair. And Joaquin, who pretty much always does interesting stuff in an interesting way, he's getting very good reviews. But also his co-stars are doing well with the critics. Also, Rooney Mara plays his girlfriend, and Jack Black is an older friend, and he's doing well. So it's kind of like, okay, well, it's up there in the 90-some percent Rotten Tomato category, so definitely one that people will want to see, and I hope to get there. Another one beginning on Friday is called The Happy Time Murders with Melissa McCarthy and the Muppets.
Okay.
Or at least a Muppet.
I saw a trailer.
Okay. Wait, would you like to talk about the trailer?
Over the top.
Oh, okay.
Over the top. I have it. Like, it was wild. There were scenes in there, like, my friend and I would look at each other. We've never seen anything like it on the movie or TV, and it was sort of shocking, but funny. But I can't imagine going to watch it. But it was definitely funny. Who is watching these films? I mean, it was absolutely crazy.
It would be me.
Yeah. Well, probably you. I found myself laughing, even though it was.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy is pretty much always good for a laugh. And what I read about it on Rotten Tomatoes was that it's kind of a filthy.
Yeah.
And that B, was really funny.
That's it exactly.
Yep. And it's Melissa McCarthy, and in the little poster that they always put on the website, there's a there's a Muppet with a gun and wearing sunglasses and looking not so Muppety, but so that's coming on Friday.
Yeah, this is not Sesame Street.
Yeah, I think it's basically it says no Sesame, all Street.
That's
in,
it
in the promos. So it will appeal to people of a certain ilk, like me. And the last movie that's coming on Friday is one that I saw a trailer for, and I said, oh, I think I'll take a miss on that one. But it's called Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh.
And it's obviously based on the novel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And you've probably seen the promo as well. And I thought, oh, this looks so not interesting to me, but it's getting incredibly good reviews. like super duper reviews. The critics like it. The audience likes it. The audience is not the audience. And it looks like one that it's going to be one of these must-see movies. It's an all-Asian cast. I will quickly get into my Rotten Tomatoes. I'll give you a little... okay. Crazy Rich Asians follows native New Yorker Rachel Chu as she accompanies her longtime boyfriend Nick Young to his best friend's wedding in Singapore. So excited about visiting Asia for the first time, but nervous about meeting Nick's family. Rachel is unprepared to learn that Nick has neglected to mention a few key details about his life. Turns out that he is not only the scion of one of the country's wealthiest families, but also one of its most sought-after bachelors. Being on Nick's arm puts a target on Rachel's back, with jealous socialites and, worse, Nick's own disapproving mother, who is played by actually a very well-known Asian actress named Michelle Yeoh.
Okay.
And it's directed by John Chu, who's, again, a well-known Asian director. And it's essentially, it's an all-Asian movie. And this is it's a kind of a first. Mm-hmm. That there's been so much money put into an all-Asian movie, which, of course, is not an Asian movie that involves martial arts, which most of them do. So it's just doing incredibly well. And I have rethought my earlier decision not to see it. Because it's got 93%... approval rating on the tomato meter.
Oh, wow.
So it's certified fresh. And the audience score is also 93%.
Mm. I'm wondering if I'm wrong about it being based on the novel. I'm thinking there is a writer who did the Asian novel, and I can't think what it was called. It was really got there a lot of prizes, but I thought it was the same author, but maybe not. I'll have to look that up.
So it's a romantic comedy. You know, romantic comedies have been done forever. Mm-hmm. And I think that was why when I saw it, I said, ew. But apparently it's really well done. It's funny, and it is a romantic comedy, and it's got this wonderful Asian presence. So, again, I haven't seen it. I am now likely to see it.
Okay.
And when I have seen these movies that I haven't seen yet, I can certainly give you my opinion.
Good.
On them. Just to recap a little bit, this Mile 22 movie got 20% approval rating.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's well below the Meg, which got 47%. So these are considered, like, you know, just god-awful. Mm-hmm. But not everybody agrees. I have occasionally seen a movie that hasn't done very well and enjoyed it. And sometimes... the reviewers, when they having panned a movie, and then they'll watch it later, like maybe a year or two later, and revisit their opinion and decide, you know what, it really was better than I thought it was at the time. So occasionally that happens, but I do think I will give Mile 22 a miss.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that. Okay, so that's it for me. Just my always... my eternal reminder about going to the movies and what a bargain it is when you buy the movie passes at $7 a pop, a package of eight. Good popcorn, nice people, really comfortable seats. And there are, I believe, 16 theaters. Yeah, 16 theaters in that one building.
Yeah.
So it's like a giant Cineplex that you find in the U.S., except it's downtown. You don't have to go out far away to a mall.
And without all those trappings.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the theaters, which is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's, it's a very pleasant experience going to the movies. Wait for a rainy day if you want, or a really, really hot day, because it's air-conditioned, or go at night.
Okay.
Something I don't do that often.
A lot of people go at night, yeah.
Most people go at night, frankly, but I tend to go in the afternoon.
It's nice in the afternoon, too.
Yeah, it's great. And then have dinner.
Good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, we thank you, Melanie, and special guest Judy today.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. See you next week.